that we want to open God's Word together this morning and to think about our lives. And as I mentioned before, we want to title the lesson, the thoughts together this morning, The Center of Your Life. What is at the center of your life? I want to begin by reading from Paul's letter to the Colossians, Colossians chapter 1, and read several verses here that I think will help us to see what needs to be at the center of our lives. So beginning with verse 1, he says, Paul, an apostle of Jesus Christ by the will of God, and Timothy, our brother, to the saints and faithful brethren in Christ who are in Colossae, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. Verse 3, he says, we give thanks to God the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and of your love for all the saints, because of the hope which is laid up for you in heaven, of which you heard before in the word of the truth of the gospel. Let's drop down to verse 9. He says, for this reason we also, since the day we heard it, do not cease to pray for you and ask that you may be filled with the knowledge of his will in all wisdom and spiritual understanding, that you may walk worthy of the Lord, fully pleasing him, being fruitful in every good work and increasing in the knowledge of God. And now let's go to verse 15. He said, in Jesus Christ, in whom we have redemption through his blood, the forgiveness of his sins. He is the image of the invisible God, the firstborn of all creation. For by him all things were created that are in heaven and that are on earth, whether thrones or dominions or principalities or powers, all things were created through him and for him. And he is before all things, and in him all things consist. And he is the head of the body, the church, who is the beginning, the firstborn from the dead, that in all things he may have the preeminence. As we look at those verses, can't help but think about that it's laying out for us that as we live our lives, each one, Jesus Christ and God, the Father, are the center of life for us. And that is such an important consideration for us as we begin this new year. What is the center of your life? Think about this and apply it to yourself, just as we mentioned before that it said as we partake of the Lord's Supper, let a man examine himself. And what is the center of your life and why is that an important issue? Well, we think about the fact that in almost everything in life, that the thing that is at the center of that is the prominent thing, the most important thing for us. Now think about the solar system that we are part of here on Earth and how that for many hundreds of years, I would say for thousands of years perhaps, from the Bible times up through about the 1500s, most people believed that the earth was the center of all things. And it was somewhat based upon what the Bible says in certain passages of scripture, because as people studied the Bible, many people, of course, the Bible was very influential in all of Western society at that time. But as we look at the Bible in Psalm 50 and verse 1, for example, the book of Psalms, it says, the mighty one, God the Lord, has spoken and called the earth from the rising of the sun to its going down. So as people read the Bible and as they look and observe the skies each day, it's consistent that what the Bible says is that God is the Lord. He has called the earth from the rising of the sun to the going down. And so the assumption was that the earth is the center of the universe, or the center of the solar system. The sun rises in the morning in the east. It goes down in the evening in the west. And so from our perspective, it seems that the earth here is the center of things. We have other statements like that in Psalm 113, verse 3. From the rising of the sun, it said, to its going down, the Lord's name is to be praised. So all of life could be, appear to be that, consistent with that, that the sun rises, the sun sets, and therefore we assume the earth is the center. Well, that was unchallenged, really, until the 1500s, until the astronomer, Polish astronomer Copernicus, Nicholas Copernicus, he proposed, after the studies that he had observed carefully, that it was actually the sun is the center of the solar system. And this led to a great controversy there in the 16th century. Maybe one of the greatest controversies of that century was this theory, which many thought radical, that Copernicus was saying that it's not the earth that is the center, it's the sun, and the planets are revolving around the sun. Well, he was a believer. He was prominent in the church at that time, Copernicus, and yet many felt that he was proclaiming heresy. Men like John Calvin and Martin Luther spoke out openly about this, that this is not right, this is not what the Bible teaches. And yet today, as we have come several hundred years into the forward years, now that is accepted almost universally that the sun is the center of the universe. But it was a great controversy at the time. But I think it illustrates how important it is. What is at the center? What is at the center of your life? When we look at daily life, we can see so many examples of the center being the most important key to the proper functioning and operation of things in life. For example, think about your tires on your car, how they spin on the axis. And when we purchase a new set of tires, they put it on the balance and they spin it, and that's how we are able to drive our automobiles. It's that, what is at the center? It's that wheel that is spinning, that it enables us to drive successfully. Whenever we look at nearly every sports example that we could think of, think about the center in basketball. The center is the tallest player on the team. They work the ball into him and pass the ball around to move into to make their shots. We see it in football. The center is on the offensive line, the center of the line. He gives the ball to the quarterback to start each play. Baseball, you have the center fielder. And in tennis, they have the center court, which all eyes are on the center court. So it happens over and over in life that we see that the leader of an organization, the central foundational mission or philosophy or principles that an organization is built upon, its leadership, those are the things that determine its success and the influence that is able to have. Well, all of these, I think, should help us to see how important it is. What is at the center of our life, each one of us. Another way to think about that is, who is on the throne? Who is on the throne of your life? And there's only two possibilities, really, that it's either myself, yourself, or it is Christ. It is one of the two. It can't be both. And the Bible teaches us that He is King. He is Lord of Lords. And as the lesson that I talked about last Sunday morning here online, Jesus Christ is Lord. Jesus Christ is Lord. The Bible makes that very clear. And understanding just what that means, that He is the Master. He is the one who should have control in our life. So I want us to consider that as we look to the beginning of this new year, that centering our lives on those things that are eternal in nature, that we need to have those things at the center of our lives. We need to have God. We need to have Christ. We need to have the Bible. These things are going to be an anchor for us in these changing times that we're living. As we think about this time we're living in, just think about how things are changing so rapidly. So rapidly things are changing that it is hard for us to even keep up. It's almost to me like if we were on a runaway train, it feels like sometimes, that we cannot seem to slow things down and hold on to anything that is stable, that is solid any longer. Have you ever come to a train stop on the, as you're driving your car and the train signal, the arm comes down and you're sitting there at the crossing of the train and the cars are just flying by so fast and you're trying to read something that is on there. And by the time it goes by so fast, you're reading it, but it's already gone by that time. Sometimes it feels that way in the world that we're living in right now, that everything is just moving by so quickly. And one thing that seems to be a constant now is no longer that. Everything has changed. We think about the technology, how quickly technology has come to be such a part of our lives. And it's almost like now we have this huge generation gap, that any of us that were born, let's say, before the 1980s, and we are 40 years and older, there's a huge gap that we have, because when we were young and growing up, we didn't have all this technology. But the young people now, that's all they've ever known. And therefore, we have this seemingly a big gap there between the older and the younger. But not only that is the technology, it's the moral values and the world views that we grew up on. Many of us now think about how our children growing up in this world that we have today, where nothing is solid, nothing is stable, it's constantly changing. How do we deal with that in our lives? And how do we help our children to understand that there is something solid that we must build our lives upon? And of course, I'm talking about God and His Word, which are unchanging. As we look to the Scriptures and we see that God is eternal, the Bible describes Him as the Alpha and the Omega, the beginning and the end, that God is without beginning, He's without end, and therefore God is unchanging. And our solidness of our life has to be anchored in God as we build a foundation for our lives. You know, in the book of Malachi, chapter 3 and verse 6, Malachi, he says, "For I am the Lord, I do not change." God is unchanging, and in Hebrews 1, verse 10 through 12, the Hebrew writer says, speaking of the heavens, he says, the heavens are the work of your hands. Like a cloak, you will fold them up and they will be changed. But you are the same, and your years will not fail. You see that God is unchanging. His word is unchanging. Those are the things that we seek to tie an anchor to in our life. Those are like the anchor of a ship. Whenever you have those solid principles of God and His creation and His worldview, that we are made in the image of God and that there is truth and that His word is unchanging, that His Son has come and given His life to die for our sins and that He is coming again. Those are the truths that we build our lives upon and that we set our values and our moral understanding of. The view of the world that we have is based upon solid rock, upon the truth of God's word. In Hebrews 13 and verse 8, it says that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today, and forever. So Jesus hasn't changed and He's not going to change. And it's only when we disconnect from God in our lives and when we begin to make the anchor of our lives, the technology of our day, the entertainment of our day, the possessions of this day that we live in, and we begin to build our lives upon those things, we lose connection with the eternal solid truths of God. And that is the danger. We want to, as we enter into this new year, ask ourselves the question, what is the center of your life? Is your life anchored in God? Is God the center of your life? Is Christ the center of your life? Is Jesus sitting on the throne of your life as He has the right to be as our Lord? Now, it's hard sometimes for us to maybe answer that question or know how to answer that question. But I want us to think about the fact that life, daily life, is filled with distractions. We all know this is true. Life has so many pressures and so many activities. We're on a schedule. We have our work. We have our family. We have different priorities pulling at us in our time. And therefore, life itself, it begins to distract us from the goal, from the commitment that we have with Christ and with God. So how do we cope with that? How do we overcome that? How do we stay keeping Christ in the center of everything in our life? Just like when we look at the universe, it's not really the sun that is the center of the universe. It's God who is the center of the universe. It's not just the solar system that we have here, but it's the entire universe. And at the center of it is God, who created it and who controls it. God needs to be at the center of each one of our lives, not this passing values of this world that we live in and the changing philosophies and the competing politics and all the things that are whizzing by so fast that it's hard to even make sense of what's happening. God is still there. God is in control. But I want us to realize that these distractions of life, what they do is they take us off center and they begin to take over our minds. We become easily preoccupied with those things. good example of this that we are, I think, all familiar with took place in Luke chapter 10, verse 38 through 42, where Jesus was invited to the home of Martha. And it was a busy day there for Martha as she was reaching out, she and her sister Mary. They invited Jesus and his disciples to come to their home. The scripture says that Martha was the one who made that invitation. As we look at Luke chapter 10 and verse 38 is where this starts. And I'll read those verses for us. It says, "Now it happened as they went that he entered a certain village, and a certain woman named Martha welcomed him into her house. And she had a sister called Mary, who also sat at Jesus' feet and heard his word. But Martha was distracted with much serving. And she approached him and said, 'Lord, do you not care that my sister has left me to serve alone? Therefore, tell her to help me.' And Jesus answered and said to her," and I think this was very tenderly spoken. He was not getting after her. He was just soothing her and comforting her, I think is most likely. But he said, Jesus answered and said, "Martha, Martha, you're worried and troubled about many things. But one thing is needed, and Mary has chosen that good part, which will not be taken from her." Now, we all can relate with Martha. I can relate with Martha. Here you had all of these people coming into her home, and here she is working hard there, trying to get things ready. She's probably in the kitchen, putting the bread in the oven, things like that, and you know, she looks out the window and here they come. Here comes Jesus and the other 12 disciples. And oh my goodness, what are we going to do here? What am I going to do? It's not ready. I don't have the table is not set. I don't have the room. Living room is not straightened up like I wanted it to be. And how am I going to get the table set and get everybody taken care of? Her mind is just going 90 miles an hour. How am I going to pull this off? Well, we can understand that. We can relate to that. And Jesus comes in, and here's Mary. She's just totally wanting to sit here and listen to Jesus. So Martha becomes distracted, and she is frantic, and she is worried about all of these things. But Jesus reassures her. He says, "Martha, Martha, you're distracted about many things. Mary has chosen the good part, will not be taken away from her. There's one thing needful," he says. "Martha, one thing is needful." And that is to have this time and this relationship in your life, the center of things with Jesus himself. That's true in our life. We are just like Martha in many ways, that here we have work, we have our families, we have other responsibilities with the church, with people in our lives. How do we balance that all out? How do we make it work? But there's one thing that is needful, and the most important thing is our relationship with Christ, with God, that we keep our eyes focused clearly on that. And these other things will work themselves out, but we have to have a focus. We have to understand what comes first and what is most important in life. Jesus talked about this in the parable of the sower. You know, in Matthew chapter 13, Jesus told the parable of the sower, how the sower went out and he sowed the seed in the field. And some fell on the wayside and some fell among the thorns. And he described that when the seed fell among the thorns, that what the result of that was, it said, now he who received seed among the thorns is he who hears the word, and the cares of this world and the deceitfulness of riches choke the word, and he becomes unfruitful. Think about that. The cares, the riches, the pleasures of this world choke the word, and it becomes unfruitful. So true in our lives today that we can become so distracted by the cares of this world and the financial issues, getting the bills paid, taking care of our families, being at work each day and doing our jobs successfully, and all of the pressures that goes with that, and managing our time. So easy to be distracted. And what he says is, it chokes the word, and we become unfruitful in our lives. So that is something that we have to be able to work that in a way that, as he says, one thing is needful. One thing is needful. That's the most important priority at the center of your life. It needs to be my relationship with God. Now, these distractions, if we are not careful and if we do not maintain a diligence in keeping those in the proper perspective, that can become a lifestyle very easily. It can become to the point that we just lose all focus in our lives of keeping the Word of God where it needs to be, in the first center part in our prayer life with God and our relationship that we maintain with Him. If we're not careful, these distractions of life can take us so far down that way that it just becomes a lifestyle with us. Think about the seven churches of Asia for a moment. In Revelation chapter 2, the church in Ephesus. Remember how the Lord spoke about the church in Ephesus? He commended them for their works and their labor, he said, and their patience. And he said they did not accept false teachings in. But the one thing that he pointed out among the Ephesians, he said, you have left your first love. And he urged them, he says, repent and do the first works, or else I will come again and remove the candlestick from its place. Now, he said, you've left your first love, and that really points to the fact that the depth of love that they had for Jesus when they first became Christians, that's what was waning in their lives and growing cold. And they were caught up in these things of life just like we are. But he's saying, you've left your first love. Now, that tells us something. That tells us that even the good things that we do in life, our work, our career, how we support our family, our involvement with just daily life, many of those things are not in and of themselves sinful or wrong. But the problem is they can distract us away from our focus on maintaining the close relationship that we need to have with our Lord. I want to ask each one of us the question as we think about the beginning of this new year is, are you distracted by these things of life so that you are losing that sense of love that you should have and you once had for the Lord? Is that love that you have for Jesus Christ what it needs to be, what it once was in your life? Or are you distracted from keeping Him where He needs to be, right in the center of everything that you're doing. Now, if he has slipped some from that position in your heart, there's some things that we can do as we begin this new year together that we can get him back where he needs to be. That is a commitment that each one of us can as we start this new year, there's some simple things, some simple steps that we can take to make that a reality. I would say, first of all, that we need to keep your eyes on him, that is, on God. Keep your eyes on the Lord. There's a statement in the book of Psalms that is very beautiful to me in Psalm 123, verse 1 and 2. He says, "Unto you I lift up my eyes, O you who dwell in the heavens. Behold, as the eyes of servants look to the hand of their masters, as the eyes of a maid to the hand of her mistress, so our eyes look to the Lord our God until he has mercy on us." He said, "Unto you I lift up my eyes." Jesus did this, as we read the Gospels, many times. There's a number of times in reading about Jesus that it literally says he looked up to the heavens. And I think it's clear from those statements that he was wanting to focus his life and his thoughts on his Father in heaven. And he was the Son of God. But as he was getting ready to bless the food, when they were feeding the 5,000, you know, they had 5 loaves and 2 fishes, and he multiplied that, and they were going to feed 5,000 with that food that had been provided that way. But it said he looked up to heaven and he blessed the loaves before they began to distribute them. And when he came to the tomb of Lazarus in John chapter 11, talks about the fact that he looked up into heaven and he prayed that prayer, "Lazarus, come forth." And he talked about the fact that there is a resurrection from the dead that is going to be happening for each one of us. So we need to keep our eyes on him at all times. Peter was in the boat with the disciples in the storm, Matthew chapter 14, and talks about how Jesus came walking to them on the water in the midst of the storm. And Peter was eager, and he said, "Lord, bid me to come to you." And Jesus says, "Come." And it goes on to say that Peter stepped out of the boat and said, when he had come down out of the boat, he walked on the water to go to Jesus. But then when he saw that the wind was boisterous, he was afraid, and beginning to sink, he cried out, saying, "Lord, save me." Well, what happened there? Peter began to look at the waves. He began to be distracted, took his eyes off of Jesus, and that's when he began to sink. So we need to, as we begin this year, we need to keep our eyes on the Lord. And as we do that, we need to keep our minds on him as well. And as we keep our minds on him, the best way for us to do that is to have our minds focused on God's word. You know, Isaiah gives a beautiful promise in Isaiah 26, verse 3. He said, "You will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. Trust in the Lord forever, for Jehovah the Lord is everlasting strength." And the footnote says that he's the rock of ages. God is the rock of ages in our life. And he will keep him in perfect peace, whose mind is stayed on you, because he trusts in you. That's the key, I believe, for each one of us. Keep our minds centered on God and His power and His presence in our lives. And, you know, Christians often today say that it's hard for me to regularly read the Bible. I find it so difficult to maintain a daily reading of the Scripture. Even opening the Bible for a few minutes and focusing on a few verses of Scripture, even that, Christians sometimes say, is just so difficult for us to maintain that. But I believe that the way to overcome that is that it should become our delight. God's Word should become the delight of our day, the thing that we look forward to in each coming day. As Psalm 1, verses 1 and 2, those beautiful opening verses of the book of Psalms, he says, "Blessed is the man who walks not in the counsel of the ungodly, nor stands in the path of sinners, nor sits in the seat of the scornful, but his delight is in the law of the Lord, and in his law he meditates day and night." You see, he talks about there that we meditate on God's word. And that is his delight. His delight is in the law of the Lord. He enjoys this. He loves being able to daily go into God's word and meditate day and night upon the Word of God. That's where he gets his strength. That's where he is able to deal with those enemies that he has in life and maintain his faith in the Lord. In the Sermon on the Mount, Jesus talked about in Matthew chapter 6 and verse 6, he said, "When you pray, don't be like the Pharisees. They stand out on the street corner and pray to be seen of men." But he said, "When you pray, go into your room. And when you have shut your door, pray to your Father who is in secret," the secret place. "And your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly." He said, go into your room, shut the door. Now, shut the door. That is the distractions. Shut those things off. Turn off your phone, get off the internet, you know, shut down the social media. Our lives have so become so controlled by these things that we don't realize that that is keeping us from where we need to be in our lives. Jesus says, go into your room, shut the door, close out all those things, focus on your request to the Lord. Pray to your Father who's in the secret place, and your Father who sees in secret will reward you openly. That's the key. That's how each one of us needs to keep Him at the center of our lives. And it needs to be a walk with Him each day, walking with God. Just like Enoch in Genesis chapter 5, it says, Enoch walked with God, and he was not, for God took him. Enoch was translated up to be with the Lord. Why? Because he walked with God. He maintained a close relationship in his life with God. Same thing is said of Noah in Genesis 6 and verse 9. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. That set him apart, didn't it? And it led to his deliverance with his family through the ark. He walked with God. We need to walk with God in our daily life. He needs to be in the center of things in our life. We go to work. We've got our phone, we've got our social media, we've got all of these things in life. But those are not the center. They cannot be the center. I cannot be the center of my life. It has to be the Lord. He has to be the one guiding and directing me to a faithful life of service for Him. Otherwise, these things of the world, just like Martha, they're going to get in the way. We're going to be distracted. Mary had the right attitude. Mary had the right idea. She sat at the feet of Jesus, and she listened to Him. She was so in love with the Lord's teaching in her life, the truth that He had. She later came and poured that bottle of precious ointment on His feet to prepare for His burial. But she had the right concept in her life. You know, that serving the meal and all that, that's wonderful, that's great, but the Lord comes first. And we all know the song, beautiful, Trust and Obey. That was one of the first songs when I was just a little toddler that my mother was teaching me. But so when we walk with the Lord in the light of His Word, what a glory He sheds on our way. While we do His good will, He abides with us still, and with all who will trust and obey. That says it all. That really is a summary of what the Christian life is, to trust and obey the Lord. The Apostle Paul, when he is writing to the Corinthians in 1 Corinthians chapter 7 and verse 35, he made the statement there, and they were having a lot of these distractions coming from the government, one thing and another, that was making it difficult for them to live the Christian life. But he said in 1 Corinthians 7:35, he said, serve the Lord without distraction. So keep your focus on the Lord at all times and have Him in the center of your life. That is my plan for my life this coming year, 2022. Karen and I, we started yesterday a Bible reading program where we read the Bible every night together, a few chapters, and just doing that, by the end of the year, we will go through the entire Bible. You know, if you have on your phone, you have the Bible apps called the YouVersion, YOUVersion. It's a free app. You can download it from the internet. But if you go on there, you can find reading plans. And you can just click on one of those reading plans. But get one that goes for the whole year, a reading plan for the whole year. And there's a number of them there that you can select. And it will come up each day. All you do is open the app and go to your plan, and it keeps track for you. And it can even, some of them, read it audibly, listen to it if you prefer that way. But there's great options available for us. So a lot of the technology we have can be a good thing. We can actually use it in a positive way to draw closer to God. There's Bible study tools, there's audio Bibles, many good things there that can be, but the important thing to think about is here we have a new year in front of us. We each have the opportunity to look back in the past year. How are we doing? Is Christ in the center of our life? Are we becoming like the church in Ephesus, losing our first love, that it's slowly drifting away? We're distracted by the things of this world, not bearing fruit as we can. The Lord will be with us as we put our focus on Him. He's going to bless us 60-fold, 80, 100-fold. It's no telling how the Lord can bring blessings in our lives and help the church grow and bring people to know Him. But it starts with our relationship that we have with Him in our lives. So I want to encourage that in all of us this year as a positive direction, as something, as a goal that we can start out with. And it's very doable. It's something that each one of us should encourage one another in that and share some of the benefits and the blessings. Like the psalmist says, meditate in his word day and night. That is the delight of your heart. So we want to close with a word of prayer and wish all of you a happy new year as we close the lesson today. I hope you have a wonderful day. Father in heaven, thank you for your son who died for us. Thank you for your word. We thank you, Father, that you are the rock of ages in our lives, that we can anchor to you in this changing world that we're living in, knowing that there are still eternal truths and eternal values that are not changing. So help us to be centered upon you and have our roots down deep where we need to be, so that you will guide and direct us in the way of the truth and the way of the Lord, and help us to grow and be fruitful and prosper. Lord, we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. Well, thank you all for joining us today, for being with us, and we wish you the best. We look forward to seeing you again. Hopefully the weather's going to warm up today some, and the streets are going to start to melt off, and we should be able to meet on Wednesday night. Maybe our Tuesday Bible class will be able to meet here at home, in our home on Tuesday. But by all means, we look forward to seeing all of you 1 week from today on next Sunday, the first day of the week. God bless you all. We will say goodbye.